Let's take our hymn books this morning, number 140. Is it that 140 in the hymn book? Beneath the cross of Jesus, 140.
Our lips. Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, please. I'm going to read the portion of Scripture in which Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave concerning the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 23, Paul the Apostle said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And by the way, we'll hear that repeated because that is the whole purpose of the Lord's table. The Lord's table is not something that conveys grace to us. It's something that displays the grace that was already given to us. We are taking time to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. This is, if you will, a memorial service where we take time to think about what the Lord did for us. Picking up in verse number 25, Paul said, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." It's my opinion to partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy state is to partake of the Lord's table knowing that there's a sin in your life that hasn't been dealt with. We, at the time we come to the Lord's table, are confronted with what brought the Lord's table in the first place. It was our sin that he came to die for. His precious blood was shed on that cross that our sins might be forgiven. As believers, none of us have to partake of the Lord's table in any kind of sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. In a few moments when the gentlemen will be handing out elements and such and Jason will be playing, it's a good opportunity for us to examine ourselves and ask the Lord to examine us. And if there's anything we know that we've done wrong or any sin that we need to deal with, we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of his forgiveness, we can partake of the Lord's table clean and in a worthy state. Verse 28 says this, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, for the cause of partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy state, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But the promise we find in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." God gives you and I an opportunity as believers to examine ourselves, to judge ourselves. If we examine and judge ourselves before the Lord, he'll not judge us. Verse number 32 says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world." You and I have an opportunity as we come to the Lord's table to remember what he did for us, to remember what he did for us. In a moment, we're going to hand out the bread. And as the gentlemen hand out the bread, please hold on to it. They'll come back. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll reread a portion of Scripture. But it's a good time as God's people just to ask God to examine us. In fact, there's a psalm that says, "Search me, O God, and try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's a good time just to say, "Lord, is everything okay between me and you? Is anything I need to confess? And if there is, you just whisper that to the Lord, and he will forgive. Amen? And he'll cleanse. Gentlemen, if you would, please hand out the bread as Jason plays. Thank you. I'm going to ask Brother Jim if he'll be so kind to pray and ask God's blessing on our remembering the body of our Savior.
Heavenly Father, we pray for your body to partake as a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ, Lord, who died and suffered for our sins, Lord, who was pierced, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for what you did for our sins and for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may partake. The juice, which is a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ, please hold on to it, and then as they come back, we'll pray and we'll read scriptures. Brother Chris, if he'll be so kind to ask God's blessing on our remembering of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to take your supper table. We just thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for the cup we're about to partake of. It's a symbol of his blood. Father, we just thank you for his spotless blood from eternity past. Lord, we thank you for the sprinkle of mercy seat in us for our redemption everlasting. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You may partake. We're going to do something this morning. If you would, turn to hymn number 515. We're going to sing this hymn at the end of the Lord's table for a reason. I think that when we came to the Lord's table, we came to the cross. In essence, we came to the cross, the crucifixion of our Savior. It's my prayer for me, and and I wouldn't doubt it would be your prayer for you, that if we could always keep these memories fresh in our minds and in our hearts as we go through life, I would imagine we'd be better Christians. Amen. And so the hymn we're going to sing at this time is Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, especially in our minds and in our hearts.
Yet, but it'll be here before we know it. And the new calendars are here. There's a box here on the platform, and there's a box back by the sound station. So please help yourself to the calendars. And I'll just give a few words about it. The intentions of this calendar is to have an attractive, well-made, and God-honoring witnessing tool you can display in your home or workplace. Now, all the scriptures that are printed on each month are from the King James Version. And it's good because it gives us an opportunity to present the gospel every day of the year. When that calendar is up and people see it, it's not just for us, okay? It is for us too, but for especially for someone that might be lost or even a Christian that's struggling, it's good to see these Bible verses. They're good salvation verses, and it's good for everybody to look at these. And you never know, it could help a person get saved. The calendars are free, okay, but please remember that there's a considerable amount of time and money that goes into having these made up, so please make sure that you use the ones that you take. And there's enough calendars right now for each member and guest of Ray Street Baptist Church. If you're a guest, you're welcome to take these two. And initially, we want each person to take up to three for your own use. And now, a new thing this year for 2020 are these little calendars. It's probably you can't see it, but there are some of these up here, too. I goofed. These were supposed to be about the same size as the other calendars, and I put the wrong item number in. So I got the mini Joyful News calendars, not the regular size. I will get some of the other ones. These are nice because they have 3 months on each page, and there's three different sets of pictures. This one has some kind of a pretty bird that's red and gray. I don't know what it is. It's not around here. And this one has some nice pink flowers on it, and this one has a raccoon, the only thing I could really identify. But anyway, those calendars, there's some of each up here. Okay, so please help yourself to the big ones and the little ones, and I'll get some of the other Joyful News, the regular-sized calendars later. And I just wanted to try these out, these other calendars, because maybe it would be easier for someone to use these, depending on the space that you have available. And I'm not sorry I got the little ones. These are nice. You could put these in your pocket or your purse. So it's good, and who knows, maybe these will even be better. But anyway, after everybody has a chance to get their three, then we'll probably at the end of October, we'll say just go ahead and help yourself to the calendars because we want these to be used up. We also have a limited supply, and I stress a limited supply of mailing envelopes, okay? So if you're going to mail the calendar to someone, see me at the sound system back there, and we have nice white envelopes. You don't have to fold up the calendar. They fit right in there, and you can send them out. And it costs a little more than a dollar to send them because of postage, but that's the way it is. But I think it's worth it if you're going to send this calendar out to someone, especially a lost person. They'll be able to see the gospel. So if you need an envelope, please see us for that. And there's the information we have is, of course, there's a front cover message, which has our church name on it, the church name and contact information, and service times and some holidays, the first days of the four seasons, daylight savings time start and end, full moon phases, birthdays of the church members and regular attenders, and all the way in the back is a 2021 calendar. It's on the last page of the back cover. And the plan of salvation is also there too. So anyhow, and the other thing is if you are involved in any sort of ministry, maybe it's a prison ministry or a nursing home ministry or whatever it might be, or maybe you just have a ministry that you minister by yourself that you try to reach people with, if you would happen to need a large quantity of these calendars or any of the calendars that we're presenting, please see me and I'll get the calendars that that you would need and the number of calendars that you need. Okay, and also in the same sense there, the calendars are available in some foreign languages. I think there's about four or five languages that they're available in. So if you needed foreign language calendars, please see me about that too. And the other thing is we still have a lot of these 2019 calendars. There's 50 of them. I guess I ordered too many last year. But anyhow, there's about half of them are up here, and there's another stack in the back. There's still 4 months left in 2019. So if you have any use for these calendars, help yourself. I'd rather see these calendars go out the door and be used than to be put into a recycling bin. So that's about it. If anybody has any questions, you can ask any questions about the calendars. Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
only have a couple of announcements. First, we miss Brother Les this morning. His birthday is this week, so let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. And we already sang happy birthday to Lydia during Sunday school. Her birthday is this week as well. All right. Secondly, for those who didn't hear, we are still studying John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 for this week. But we are going to be moving on to Psalm 24, verses 4 and 5, starting next Sunday. So if any of you would like to start looking at that and start preparing for that, you can certainly do so, and we'll look at that next Sunday morning. All right, since Brother Renzi already selected the third song I was going to use anyway, we're going to sing one more song. It's number 821, all the way in the very back of the hymn book, beyond the index. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so? And as we always do, we'll repeat the chorus at the very end of the song.
Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my
some good singing there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I went to heaven a little bit there, you know, thinking about what it's going to be like. Amen. They'll be singing there, that's for sure. Amen. Because there'll be nothing to make us sad anymore. Amen. Thank God for that. Well, if you have a Bible, would you please turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number one. Philippians, chapter number one. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen. With the Lord's people, hearing some good music and listening to the scriptures, amen. God knows this is what our hearts need, right? Philippians, I want to talk a little bit. We're going to spend some time in Philippians this morning, because in this book there's a couple things that are really challenging for you and I that are saved. This book speaks a lot about what I'm going to call Christian living. Christian living. If I could simplify Christian living, I would call it Christ-like living. Amen? That's what Christian living is. It's Christ-like living. You and I that are saved, this is our challenge in this life and in this world, is to live for the Lord, amen, and to live our lives in a Christian way, to live Christ-like, if you will. In the book of Philippians, there are four things that I want us to note about Christian living or Christ-like living that I pray would be a help to our hearts as we try to live for the Lord in this world and in this life day by day. The first thing I want us to note is found in Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look in a moment in verse number 20 and 21. There's some statements in each chapter that Paul gives that gives us some thoughts about Christian living. And the first thing I want us to note about Christian living or Christ-like living is that it involves a purpose, a purpose. You and I are not going to live the Christian life or live like Christ by accident. Amen? We're going to have to make it our purpose in life to live for the Lord Jesus day by day. Paul did that, and that's what we need to do. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20 and 21. The Bible says this. Paul said, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Now, Paul the Apostle is writing this book in prison. And in prison, he doesn't know if he's going to die. He doesn't know if he's going to live. But he was determined that whether he lived or whether he died, that in his body and through his body, the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified. Amen. Now look at verse number 21, which is the key thought that I want you to get. He said this, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said, for me, that was for him. He said, to live is Christ. In other words, Paul said, if I'm going to live, I am going to live for Christ. Now, you can quote that verse if you want to, but in order to make that your own verse and your own determination, you have to say, for to me, not using Paul, what Paul said, but for your own self, to live is Christ. Paul was purposed. Paul was determined. It was Paul's intention. It was Paul's objective. It was his goal, his aim, his target. And by the way, if you and I are going to live for Jesus Christ day by day, we are going to have to make it our purpose, our goal, our aim, our objective. Amen? That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to purpose to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because it's not going to happen by accident. What does it mean to be purposed? It means to be determined. It means to be determined. It means to be resolved. How many people know that song, "I Am Resolved"? That's a good song, amen? That song is a song that somebody wrote about their living for Christ. "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight," amen? And the song says, "I will hasten to him," amen? And so you and I as believers, we need to be determined. We need to purpose in our hearts to live day by day the Christian life, amen, as we ought to. We cannot do it by accident. We will not do it by accident. In fact, we have to purpose to live for the Lord because our initial tendency, our human tendency, our natural tendency is to what? Not live for the Lord. Amen? I mean, we actually have to purpose and determine to do the right thing because we're prone to wander. Amen. In fact, how many people remember that song? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Amen. And so on. So we have to be determined. We have to be purposed. Why? Because it's not an accident. It's not going to happen by accident. We need to be purposed about a few things. I want you to turn with me for a moment, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. I think if we're going to be purposed to live the Christian life, if we're going to be purposed to live like Christ as we ought to live, then there's few things we're going to have to purpose to do if we're going to purpose to do that. Amen. In order to do one thing, you have to do another. Amen. If you want to purpose to buy a house, you better purpose to work first. Can I get a witness on that one? Hello, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I am determined to purchase a home. If you don't go to work, all your determination ain't going nowhere. See, when we purpose to do something, we got to say, well, hold on a minute. What is going to help me to do that? Then I got a purpose to do that. Amen. And so if I'm going to purpose to live the Christian life, if I'm going to purpose to live for the Lord day by day as I go through this life, then I'm going to have to purpose some other things. And here's one of the things that we have to purpose. Acts chapter number 11. I want you to look with me in verse beginning in verse number 19. Acts 11 beginning in verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them that were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And so what we have here is a persecution came and the disciples were scattered. And by the way, when they were scattered, the word of God got scattered as well. And the word was being spread out, and so people started to hear and so on. Look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And so these disciples began to preach the word of God. People heard it, trusted it, and turned to the Lord. Amen? That's salvation right there, right? Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem where the church started. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, Barnabas, if you study the life of Barnabas, he's referred to as the son of consolation. Barnabas was an exhorter. Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was somebody that would encourage you, to help you, to strengthen you. Amen. In fact, it was Barnabas who brought Paul in, if you will. Amen. It was Barnabas, I believe, who helped John Mark, his nephew, if you will. And so they brought him to these people who had just believed and just turned to the Lord. Now look at verse 23. Who when he came and had seen the grace of God, what did he see? He seen the salvation of God. He seen what God had done in the lives of some people who had trusted the Lord. You see, the grace of God and salvation go hand in hand because you can only be saved by the grace of God. Amen. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, right? And so Barnabas gets there, he sees these people that had gotten saved, and he was glad, and he exhorted them all that with what? Purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas said to these believers who just had gotten saved, he encouraged them, he exhorted them, that they with purpose of heart would cleave unto the Lord. What does it mean to cleave unto the Lord? It means to stick close to the Lord. Barnabas told these believers to purpose in their hearts to stick close to the Lord. If I am going to purpose to live for the Lord day by day, I am going to have to first purpose to walk close to the Lord day by day. If I will walk with the Lord day by day, I'll have a better opportunity and a better chance to live for the Lord day by day. Amen? One of the things the devil likes to do is to get believers away from the Lord, to get you away from the Word of God, away from prayer, away from the Lord. Because when you go out into the world and try to go through this world and you're away from the Lord, you're more prone to blend in than to stand out. You and I that are believers, if we are going to purpose to live for the Lord day by day, we have to purpose to walk with the Lord day by day. Just a closer walk with thee. Amen. Granted, Jesus is my plea. We need to walk with the Lord day by day. You say, how do you walk with the Lord? Well, we need the Word of God day by day, that's for sure. Every day we ought to be reading the Word of God and speaking to the Lord and with the Lord. Amen. We need to purpose in our hearts to walk with the Lord, if you will. If I'm going to purpose to live the Christ-like life every day, I got a purpose to walk with the Lord, close to the Lord. Why? Because walking close with the Lord is going to give me the strength that I need to live for the Lord in the moments that I might be tempted not to. Amen. We need to be purposed to walk close. But that's not the only thing we need to purpose. We need to be purposed to walk clean. If I'm going to live for the Lord day by day, I got a purpose to walk close, but I also got a purpose to walk clean. Daniel did that, did he not? Daniel chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, Daniel was taken from Jerusalem. He was taken to Babylon into captivity. They changed his name, if you will. They tried to change a lot of things about him, but they could not change what was going on in his heart. You see, Daniel, I believe, was a young man. They believe he was about 17 years old when he was taken captive to Babylon, a teenager. Babylon's a picture of the world. You got this godly teenager taken from Jerusalem, taken and put into Babylon and put into the world, and even put into the upper echelons of that world, into the governments, if you will, of that world. And they tried to change a lot of things about him. They did change a lot of things about him, but they could not change what was going on in his heart. And what was going on in his heart is what led to his right living as a Jewish young man. And so you have Daniel, I believe, had the Word of God in his heart. He had the Old Testament law of God in his heart of what he could and could not eat, what he could and could not drink. And God's Word in his heart was what was guiding his life day by day, no matter where he was at. Usually you think, well, if you're in Rome, you do what the Romans do. No, 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 no. God's people in the world need to still live for the Lord. Amen? It's amazing how many of God's people in the world are so like the world you can't even tell they're saved. Amen? There's been many times that I found out in the workplace, as I worked the secular jobs, I would get around somebody and they didn't know me and I didn't know them, and they might just be talking, and in their talk they're dropping the F word every other whatever. And then all of a sudden I start to speak to them about the Lord and they say, well, I'm a believer too. Well, I couldn't have told by the way you were talking. Amen. You see, they might be true believers, by the way. It doesn't mean they're non-believers because they're using bad language. Amen. But the fact of the matter is they just are so used to living like the world, in the world and with the world, that when a believer that stands out finally stands out, other people start to say, hold on a minute, I'm a believer too. But the fact of the matter is they didn't know you were a believer, and that's why they lived like the world around that moment that they did. Amen? We need to purpose like Daniel purposed. And here's what the Bible says, Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You know that. It goes on about the king's meat and wine. But the fact of the matter is Daniel, as a Jewish believer in the world, purposed in his heart not to live like the world around him. You and I as believers are in a dirty world. Do you guys get Dr. Bob Cook on the radio up here? Well, we get him on the radio down there. And he always uses an expression, old time preacher. He said, you don't have to be tarred with the brush of the world. Amen. And the fact of the matter is you and I as believers are in this world, and if we are going to live the right way in this world, we are going to have to be purposed. We are going to have to be determined to live for the Lord. Amen? We're going to have to be determined in our hearts to live right for the Lord. Amen? Here's something that the psalmist said in Psalm 17:3. David said this, by the way. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. You see, we have to purpose to live right. We have to purpose to speak right. Amen? In this book of Philippians, and if you'll turn back with me for a moment, please. Philippians. Go back to Philippians, if you would, please. In chapter number 1, we find that Christian living involves a purpose. We have to determine to live for the Lord day by day. We can't just haphazardly live, amen? I find it's easier to purpose to live for the Lord and determine to live for the Lord when you walk with the Lord day by day, amen? Then let me give you the second thing, Philippians chapter number 2. Not only do we find in this book about Christian living, we find involves a purpose, but Christian living also involves number 2, and that is this, a pattern. A pattern. Look at chapter 2 of Philippians, verse number 5. Paul said this to the believers there. And by the way, if you read the context, verses 1 and on, he speaks to what possibly is believed to be some quabbling and some fighting going on between a couple ladies in the church. And he says in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul knew if they had the mind of Christ, they would have the manners of Christ. Amen? And so, in this world, if you and I are going to live the Christian life, listen, we're going to have the right pattern. We're going to have the right example. By the way, who is the pattern for the Christian life? The Christ is. Amen? Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is our pattern. He's our example on how to live the Christian life. Let me make this statement. The Christian life is not lived the way that you think you should live it. The Christian life is not to be lived the way that others think you should live it. The Christian life is to be lived the way that God said we should live it. Amen? You can have your own opinion on how the Christian life is to be lived, and you can have somebody else's opinion on how the Christian life is to be lived, but you know what? That's all they are, is opinions. We need to make sure that our living is based on what God's word says, amen? Not what we think and not what somebody else thinks, amen? I'm not trying to live my life to please somebody else. I'm trying to live my life to please the Lord, amen? In fact, in Romans 12, verse number 2, it says, actually verse number 1 and 2, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, what's it say? Acceptable unto God. Amen. You see, our Christian life is to be lived acceptable unto God. Now, how do I know my Christian life is acceptable unto God? Right here. You have to make sure that your living lines up with the Word of God. Amen? By the way, you have to make sure your living lines up with the Word of God in its context. That's why it's important to know the Scriptures. Amen? You have a lot of people telling you, you should do this, you should do that, because this is what it should be, and so on. And if you try to live your life to please everybody else, you could be living wrong. Amen? You got to seek to live your life according to the Word of God. Amen? Pleasing Him is the goal. The Christian life is to be lived the way Jesus lived it. By the way, He is our pattern. He is our example. Here's some verses for you concerning that. John 13, 15. Here's what Jesus said. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, in the very context of that, Jesus Christ, as you remember, He had in the upper room, He had the disciples. He was washing their feet. You remember that, right? He was washing the disciples' feet. And He said, look, I just humbled myself and I'm the master of the universe and I just washed your feet. You need to wash each other's feet. You need to serve one another. You need to do what I have done. I've set the example on that. Amen. Here's another verse for you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Jesus Christ gave us an example in John 13 on how to serve appropriately. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, Jesus Christ left us an example on how to suffer appropriately. Wow. How to suffer like Christ. How to serve like Christ. Don't think you're better than anybody. Humble yourself and be a blessing to anybody. Amen? How do you suffer like Christ? By the way, if you were to read the context of 1 Peter chapter number 2, He did no wrong. He said no wrong.
and yet he suffered persecution. How am I to suffer like Christ suffered? I'm to accept it. I'm to go through it without retaliating and responding inappropriately. Amen. Some of the hardest things to do, is it not? Especially when you're right. Amen. He gave us an example. Here's another verse for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him, referring to Jesus, himself also so ought to walk even as he walked. And what that scripture is saying is, if you say you're saved and you say you walk with the Lord, then you ought to walk as he walked. Amen. The Christ-like life comes from his example. Amen. He is our example. And by the way, let me say this. When we follow his example, we become an example to be followed. Amen? When you and I follow his example, we then become an example to be followed. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ. Amen? Here's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example of the believer. Here's what Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. You see, when you and I follow Christ, we are setting a tone and we are setting an example for others to see that they also can follow Christ and follow us. Amen. If we truly are following Christ. And by the way, let me say this, that when you and I follow Christ and live the way we ought to, that's really what makes us Christians. Do you know that? You know what some people do? They mistakenly ask this question, are you a Christian? You've heard that before, right? And most people, they think when they hear that question, are you a Christian? They think somebody's asking, are you a believer? Is that right? That's the implication most people are saying when they say, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? That's really what they're asking. Because the fact of the matter is there's a lot of believers who aren't Christians. There's a lot of believers who don't live the Christian life as they ought to. Amen. Do you know the world can recognize when people are really Christ-like? They recognize that. I personally believe in Acts chapter number 11 and verse 26, it says this, in fact, I'll read it for you. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Antioch was a Gentile community. I personally believe that it was the unsaved people who called the believers Christians. I believe that they recognized who they were because they were followers of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? The world should be able to look at your lifestyle and say, now that's a Christian. Instead of many people hear this one, and you call yourself a Christian? It's usually one or the other. Most of the times it's, and you call yourself a Christian? It should be somebody turns around and says, now that's a Christian. Amen? You see, by the way, the word Christian, the name Christian is only found three times in the Bible. The first time it's found in Acts 11 where we just talked about it, and that has to do with perception. People can perceive whether you're really a Christian or not, amen? But then the others have to do with persuasion. Paul the Apostle was given his testimony before King Agrippa in Acts 26, 28, and the Bible says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what happened? Agrippa was listening to Paul's testimony, how Paul got saved and how Paul got called and how Paul began to serve the Lord. And Agrippa said, almost persuadest thou to be a Christian. You see, when you are really what you ought to be, people will perceive you're a Christian. But then your life also may actually persuade people to be Christians too. Amen? But then there's a third time that the name Christian is found in the Bible. And that's found in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 16. And here's what it says. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. So what we have here is we have the name Christian found in connection with perception. People can perceive you're a Christian. And then there's two different responses that people usually give to Christians. Either persuasion or persecution. Amen? People will either be touched by your life. God will use it a special way to persuade them to be saved. Or they'll not want your life and they'll not like your life and they'll persecute you for it. Paul put it this way, if I could tell you this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14 throughout verse number 17, Paul said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. In the context of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul's talking about being a missionary and taking the word of God to different places, and God gave them the victory as missionaries as they spread the word. He said that we are a savor, a smell. We smell. We're putting out the word of God, and we're putting off a smell that's pleasing to God. But he said this, to some people, we smell like death. He said, to other people, we smell like life. When you are what you ought to be, not everybody's going to love you. In fact, I'll say this, woe unto you when everybody loves you. Amen? When you're what you ought to be, some won't like you. But others will need you. Amen? Because you'll be there to make the difference in their life. Christ-like living takes a purpose. Christ-like living takes a pattern. Jesus Christ is our pattern. Amen? Let me give you a third thought. Turn, if you would. If you, matter of fact, you might even still be there. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Christ-like living, Christian living, it takes a purpose. It takes a pattern. May Jesus be our example on how to live the Christian life. Amen? May he be our example. And then number 3, Christian living not only involves a purpose and a pattern, but Christian living involves a power. A power. You and I can't live the Christian life in our own strength. Amen? We cannot in and of ourselves muster up the energy and the strength that it takes to live for Christ the way we ought to. But thank God we don't have to, because we have a strength that's in us because of the Lord. Look at Philippians 4:13. Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, Jesus Christ is the strength that we need to live the Christian life. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. John 15:4-5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We don't have what it takes to be what God wants us to be. I can't be like Christ without Christ. Not truly, amen? But thank God when we get saved, we get in a position where we are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new, amen? We then now, because we're saved, we have what it takes by his spirit, by his strength, by his grace, to be what we ought to be. Amen? When a person gets saved, by the way, they get the Holy Spirit, right? And we know the Holy Spirit is the strength of the believer. No doubt about that. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Spirit of God is the strength in our lives to live the Christian life the way we ought to live it. Amen? In fact, the Ephesians 5:18 talks about, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You and I on a daily basis need to be filled. By the way, the verse actually literally is, keep on being filled with the Spirit. I wish being filled with the Spirit was a one-time thing. You got filled and you never had to get filled again, but that's not the truth. I think it was D.L. Moody who said we all have to keep on getting filled because all of our buckets have holes in them. Amen? We need to keep on getting filled, amen, and allowing the Spirit of God to have his way in our lives. Let me give you the final thought. I want you to look with me in chapter number 3. See, in the book of Philippians, there's just 4 different things we note about Christian living. Paul refers to it. The Christian living involves a purpose. We have to be purposed. We have to be determined. We have to be resolved to live for Christ day by day. If you're going to purpose to live for him, purpose to walk with him, purpose to walk clean. But he's our pattern. Let's make sure he's the example we're following. Amen? And then let's do it in his strength. Let's pray for his strength. Ephesians 3:17, I believe it is, or 16, Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we can pray that too. I pray that every day for God to strengthen me in the inner man to live for the Lord. But then the final thing is this, I want you to note. Chapter number 3, we're going to look at verse number 20 and 21. Christian living involves a purpose. Christian living involves a pattern. Christian living involves a parable. And finally, Christian living involves a push. A push. You know, God knows we need to be pushed sometimes. Amen? Can I get an amen on that one? You say, what does it mean to be pushed? It means a motivation. God gives us good motivation to live for Him. The devil don't want us to be motivated. He doesn't want us to see the motivation to live for the Lord. Amen? Look at Philippians 3, verse number 20 and 21. For our conversation, Paul said, that word conversation is citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven. By the way, those of us that are saved, we have dual citizenships. We're citizens of heaven, we're citizens here. Amen? But the most important one is heaven, right? For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the what? Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In this text right here, what we have is we have the coming of the Lord referred to. His coming is our motivation to keep on going. Amen? And by the way, if you read it, and we won't do that for the sake of time, but in every chapter in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 10, chapter 2, verse 16, chapter 4, verse number 5, every chapter in this book mentions the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming is a motivation to keep on going for the Lord. Amen? It's a motivation. It's a motivation to keep living right and to keep doing right. In fact, we know the Lord said he was going to come back again. Amen. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, 1 and 2, 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Amen. The Lord Jesus told a story. I believe it's in the book of Matthew or book of Luke. And he talked about the man who gave talents to his servants, and he left, and some of them used them up and some of them didn't. They didn't care. They lost view of his coming. Amen. They said, my Lord delays his coming. And they went and lived wrong. Amen. I want you to turn with me for a moment to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Please. And we're coming down to the end here. But his coming should keep us going. And by the way, if his coming is not enough to keep us going, because I'll be honest with you, when you think about the fact that he hasn't come back in 2,000 years, it's very easy to think he's not coming back in my lifetime. Am I the only one that thinks that way? Or is anybody else in here as human as I am? Be honest with you, I figure, you know, if he's been that long, he's probably not going to come back in my lifetime. I wish I was a preacher that said, I believe he could be here today, and he will come here today. I'd be honest with you, he could, according to scriptures, but honestly, I don't believe that inside. I'm not living today like he's coming back today. Oh my, am I surprising you? I'm a sinful man, ain't I? But I'll tell you what does help me. If I don't think of him coming today, which he could, I could very easily go to him today. And in my lifetime, I will go to him. He may not come back in my lifetime, but I'm going to him at the end of my lifetime. You understand what I'm saying to you? My motivation is not just, oh, Jesus might pop in today. My motivation is every year that goes by, I'm getting older. Can I get a witness on that one? And as I get older, I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer to the Lord. Amen? And so, hey, if it's his coming that motivates me or if it's my going that motivates me, it's the fact that I'm going to see him face to face. That ought to be the motivation. Amen? Look at John, 1 John chapter number 3, and we'll close up. 1 John chapter 3, look with me in verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I thank God for that. Catholicism will tell you can't believe you're a son of God now. That's the sin of presumption. You ever hear that before? This Bible says no. Now we are the sons of God. Hey, we could be saved now. We don't have to wait till later. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our meeting with him is what the context is talking about, right? We're going to see him as he is. Look at the motivation in verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, where at? It doesn't say every man that has this hope purifies himself, does it? Because believe it or not, you can have that hope and not do anything for you. Every man that has this hope, every man that has this hope in him, if the truth of your meeting with the Lord is in you, you will purify yourself even as he is pure. If the reality of your going to him or him coming to you, if your reality of the meeting that you and I are going to have with the Lord personally, if the reality of this truth is in us doing something, it's going to clean us. I am not going to want to go be with the Lord from a dirty state. Amen. It's a motivator. There ain't no doubt about that. Amen. But it's also a comfort and a consolation to know that he's coming again. Living the Christian life, the Christ-like living, takes four things, actually. It takes purpose. May God help us to purpose to live for the Lord day by day. It takes pattern. And may our pattern truly be Jesus Christ. Not even the best Christian on earth, though they might help us, may it be Jesus Christ. Power. May we ask God for the power that we need. By the way, I like this truth. He giveth power to the weak. In fact, he said to Paul, when you are weak, then are you strong. Don't wait to feel like you got the power to live for God. Because then I would say, you're probably prideful. I know I don't have what it takes to live for God. Dear Lord, please give me what I need because I don't have it. Amen. He giveth power to them that have no power, no strength. Amen. I believe that's Isaiah chapter 40. May God help us to be motivated also, to be pushed, to live for the Lord, because we're going to meet the Lord one day. And the older we get, the closer we get. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the gathering today. Oh Lord, I pray you'll help us. Help every one of us believers. Help every one of us saved people to purpose in our hearts to walk close to thee, to walk clean with thee, and to be Christ-like day by day. We have to live in a dirty world. May we purpose to not let this dirty world make us dirty, but may we purpose to be clean. May Jesus truly be our example on how to live the Christian life. May you give us the strength and the power that we need. We don't have it in and of ourselves. And may our meeting with you, be it your coming or our going, motivate us to live the right way day by day. Father, if there's anybody in this gathering today that's here and they're not sure that they're saved, may they know and understand that they could be saved today if they'll believe the gospel message. If there's anybody here this morning that is not sure they're saved and they would like to talk to somebody, they could see me after. If they're a woman, we'll have a woman talk to them. If they're a man, I'd talk to them personally to let them know how to be saved. If anybody has any questions, may they see us and seek us. No problem with that. But every believer, I pray you'll work in our hearts today. Bless, we pray, as we close, I believe, with a hymn. May your word and your spirit do a work in our hearts. Lord, keep us and protect us through this week. Hedge this church. Protect this church, Lord. Please meet their needs, Lord, and please send them somebody that'll pastor them, Lord, and lead them. We pray for your watch care over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your attentiveness.
hearts and be tender to the leading of spirit. We pray that in the struggles of this life, help us to recognize that you are with us. And you have said in your word, you will not forsake us. And that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So help us to be mindful of that, recognizing that in and of ourselves, we have no chance to live for you the way that we should. We pray that we'll be in the Word and draw from it what we need to live day by day. We pray that we'll be honored and glorified by each one of us as individuals, as families, and as a body of believers here in this area, that our testimonies will be strong so that when the world looks at us, as he said in the message, they can look at us and say, hey, that is definitely a Christian. Help us to be faithful until the Lord Jesus comes. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day.